You're listening to Domestic Diplomat.
Mashed potatoes, tomato soup, and whatever food falls in their hands. All this is not landing on the plate anymore. But, yes, you probably know it already, on the famous paintings of Van Gogh, Monet, and Co. One could ask themselves, what is wrong with the world that people make use of this form of protest? Well, while this question remains open, the protesters themselves name what is wrong: the climate policy of the last decades. Actions from the Last Generation movement have happened more and more often recently. This rather radical form of protest against the climate crisis leads to general polarized discussion. While their actions definitely gain attention, there remains the questions of how effectively it impacts the protection of our environment in a positive way. In this episode, I will talk about the roots of the Last Generation movement, how much opinions differ on their actions, as well as how to place them in the scenery of climate movements. Welcome to the Master's Diplomat and our new episode. I am Chiara Matschuk, a first-year European Studies student at Maastricht University, and today's topic is the climate activism by the Last Generation movement. You've probably heard of it, most likely by scrolling through social media. There were lots of posts and pictures showing their protest actions. And looking back at the last several months, their actions definitely dominated the reports of climate protest actions. Informally called the climate gluers, they have drawn pretty much all the attention of the public to their actions. It was in 2021 that Last Generation was founded. The group emerged from the protest group Hunger Strike of the Last Generation that blocked highways in Berlin from 2021 onwards. While the original group was only active in Germany, the group is meanwhile organized Europe-wide and also does protest actions in Austria and Italy. The activist movement's name of Last Generation is based on the conviction that their generation is the last one being able to stop a climate collapse. They state that the Earth is approaching irreversible climate changes that will unquestionably lead to a climate catastrophe. In the first place, of course, the activist group wants the government to act and initiate stronger measures to fight climate change. Among its central goals are, for example, a debt cut and a financial compensation for the global south that notices the climate consequences always first. Other than that, they advocate for an agriculture turnaround and demand concrete measures against food waste. In Germany, they demand a speed limit to 100 km per hour and the reintroduction of a 9-year public transport card. One thing that maybe differentiates them from some other groups is that they actively demand for a society council, which is their idea of integrating civil people into the decision-making process of climate policy. The reason why they consider such implementation as necessary is because they consider the system of parliamentary democracy as failure in regards to coping with climate issues. The Last Generation, meanwhile, gains in significance, which one can also see in the number of activists and people that support them. The membership number is not 100% sure or officially confirmed, but an activist recently informed that it increased from 30 to 750 people. And this is also what matches with the latest estimations. Online workshops and activist training are offered to recruit new people and to professionalize their actions. And with the increasing number of new members, there are also more people that financially support the group and give funding. With calls for donations and internet crowdfunding pages, such as GoFundMe.com, they generate donations up to 70,000 euros as of November 2022. Apart from that, donation initiatives such as the Climate Emergency Fund give financial support to climate groups, including the Last Generation. The funded money is invested in material which is needed for the protest actions, as well as in the people that commit themselves to exercise the planned protest actions. They do get paid up to 1,300 euros per month. One of the faces of the Last Generation is 20-year-old Carla Rochel that came to popularity because of her presence in a German TV show. Another known person is one of their spokespeople, Carla Hinrich. The group majorly consists of young people as them, but meanwhile also some elderly people joined the movement. The head organization is divided into subgroups. The smallest instance consists of 4 to 8 people who sometimes even live together in apartments that are purposely rented for group members. It is also interesting to look at the self-published videos on YouTube to find out more about the motivation and intentions. They also go deeper into the explanation of the Society Council, and they give the movement a face by making small videos about some of their members. As an example, they produce portrait videos of members that are currently detained and then show the motivation behind the protest engagement. Other videos document their protest actions or show records of press conferences that they have given. With the rising number of actions, also the number of criminal prosecution increases. In Berlin, which is the major place of their actions in Germany, there have been an amount of 65,000 euro fines that had to be paid following several street blockades. While blockading streets and damaging artworks have been reported in the media quite often, other protest actions have been less in the spotlight. The Last Generation movement has in fact also exercised protest actions in federal ministries and party headquarters, where they had entered and set off the fire alarm. Let's maybe have a look at some of the actions a while ago first. It all started with mainly protest actions within museums. In Dresden, 2 activists glued their hands on the frame of the Sistine Madonna. Similarly, activists did so in Frankfurt and Berlin. But in many cases, gluing their hands on the painting frames was not the only thing they did. Other paintings were thrown with food beforehand. Examples are a Monet painting in Potsdam being thrown with mashed potatoes, Van Gogh paintings in Rome and London that were thrown with soup, and the Klimt painting in Vienna being thrown with oil. In addition, sculptures and monuments, such as the Fundamental Law Memorial in Berlin's government district, became targets of the Last Generation's actions. But their actions in museums are not the only form of protest of the Last Generation. One of the most recent actions, but surely not the last one, took place on Friday 21st April 2023. On that day, luxury shops on Berlin's famous shopping mall, Kudamm, got attacked with orange color that the activists had filled into fire extinguishers. Meanwhile, they held up signs saying, "We can no longer afford the rich," or like, "Your luxury leads to our climate collapse." It is clear what they want to say with that. The rich contribute to the high CO2 emissions more than a normal citizen on average. However, they will be with the ones that notice the consequences as one of the last people. Indeed, people and countries that are in a better financial situation do have a better perspective in the long term. When it could come to water and food shortages and a lack of other limited resources, they will not be the first ones being affected. The problem is, the majority of the world population is part of the group that lives in poverty. Data shows that the richest 1% of the world possesses around 45% of the world's global net assets. The richest 10% possesses 2/3 of the global net assets. The other way around, that means that the poorest half of the world's population only disposes of 2% of the global net assets. Since the economic crisis in 2007, the gap between rich and poor is growing even bigger. The COVID crisis too led to a bad financial situation, especially among those that already did not have a lot before. So, in short, that means that the problems of the poorest part of the world's population get only bigger, and in the near future, they will not only suffer from already bad living conditions, but there will be additional problems that will emerge or get aggravated. Environmental catastrophes will eventually lead to even more starvation, pollution, and existential crisis. Let's come back to another action of the Last Generation that did not happen long ago. It was on last Monday, 24th April, when several street blockades took place. At 7:30 in the morning, several activists glued themselves on different city highways. Traffic jams up to 2 hours were caused and many delays in public transport. 15 emergency vehicles were blocked in those traffic jams. At the end of the day, 200 protesters were taken into preventive custody for one night, mainly for identity verification. During the day, 500 police officers and 1 helicopter were in use. Amy van Baalen, one of the spokespeople of the Last Generation movement, assessed this day as a success, explaining that on that day there were 3 times more protest actions than in last autumn. And many more protest actions are very likely to come, as the group even plans on extending its actions. When placing the last generation in the scenery of climate movements, one could probably place them into the category of the rather radical or extremer climate movements, under which also Extinction Rebellion falls. However, it is interesting to look at how they view themselves and defend their ideas and forms of protests. In statements or panel discussions, they justify the protest forms as being the last possible solution to tackle the ignorance of the climate crisis by the governments. Then there are some public figures that also have an opinion on how to assess the last generation movement. Popular climate activists such as the German Fridays for Future representative Luisa Neubauer says in this context that she supports climate activism in general, but that one could possibly argue about the form of protest. She clarifies that she stands for forms of protests that do not endanger other people. Even if not directly opposing the last generation movement, Fridays for Future definitely criticizes the division of society and the controversy that result from the actions. This reproach was already thematized by the German Green Party as well. The German government assesses their actions critically as well, as they state that they do not support the form of protest. According to them, it is doubtful whether such, and I quote, massive disruptions of public order serves the cause of climate protection. Federal Minister of the Interior, Nancy Faeser, clarifies she does not have comprehension for these actions. She advocates for fighting the climate crisis in a democratic manner. However, she does not specify what that should look like. Similar to some of the opinions of public figures, the majority of the reporting has a rather negative touch when it's scrolled through the press, be it through social media or through some news articles. It is mainly focused on how their actions bothered public life more than they brought attention to climate change. There seems to be a consensus of raising the index finger and saying, actions like these are not reasonable and not supported by the broad public. The reporting never covers any further discussion about climate change and the environmental topic in general. However, moving the climate crisis to the agenda of the press again is what the last generation actually wants. It is therefore a good example to illustrate how in this case the press doesn't really engage with the topic of climate change at all, but how they rather shame the activist movement for what they do. This certainly also has an impact on how we ourselves perceive and assess the actions of the last generation. Well, let's maybe go over to some of the critiques that are held against them. There's one situation that I have in mind. Two last generation protestants did not show up at the court on the day of the prosecution. The judicial prosecution of them was the result of one of their actions before. Now, of course it is not great to miss such a court date, but the outrage they faced was huge. Certainly, it is not great for PR to protest for climate justice in an extreme manner in one moment, and then, in the next moment, to be publicly caught when going on a faraway Bali trip, seemingly ignoring the high CO2 emissions that this flight caused. But however, there's not just one way to look at it. The reproach that was made is that climate activists, or more specifically these two people from the last generation, have a double standard when it comes to environmental questions. They would publicly advocate for protecting the environment and avoiding CO2 emissions, but then, privately or even secretly, don't care at all about that. Thus that leads to the question, whether it is compatible to protest against climate change and to still go on long-distance flights, the infamous flight shame. But didn't it become one of our basic rights to be able to travel in our globalized world, and are there even enough alternatives to avoid taking a flight? And to what extent is it possible to separate your private life from activism? What actually happens when they collide, as it seems to be the case of our two vacationers? Because even though Last Generation rapidly made clear that the two did not go on this trip in the name of the Last Generation, but that it was a private, independently booked vacation, the critique about double morality remained. That seems rational, as fighting against climate change would logically also imply to change your personal lifestyle. However, to find concluding words for that, we are all not perfect, and we are all not without mistakes in regards to emissions. But the right to protest against injustices, such as the climate crisis, is given to all of us. However, there's a point to be made. People tend to often say, as long as someone takes the airplane, eats meat and does this or that, they shouldn't even demonstrate and pretend they care for climate. But I argue that there's an error in reasoning. Because in the end, it is not that this one person has to go vegan directly and can from now on never take a flight again. Rather, it is a broad public from which each single person of us has to take a step back and do less damage to the climate. Be it to eat meat instead of 4 times just once per week, or taking the train and bus instead of the car and airplane, or to buy groceries at the market instead of plastic wrapped vegetables from the supermarket, there's so many little steps to take, and it does not have to be a radical transformation from one day to another. But time flies by, and it gets very much urgent that more people think that way and begin to act. Apart from that, the private sector's emissions are significantly smaller in comparison to the amount of the CO2 emissions released by the industry. A rethinking is therefore not only needed on a personal level, but also among industrial leaders. This, in turn, could be reached through public pressure, through, for example, protests. As one can see, there's numerous environmental and movements trying to do exactly that for several years. And while climate movements and leading personalities, such as Greta Thunberg, get often invited to climate conferences or gatherings of political decision takers, the final impact is, however, rather small. The actual weight of the COPs, the yearly UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, can be doubted, not least because its decisions are not strongly binding and as states often disrespect them. In the case of the USA, Trump even decided in 2017 to leave the climate agreement of Paris that was agreed upon in 2016. As it seems, feeling unheard and unseen by the political elite is the main reason for climate activists to make use of more extreme forms of protest. In the last years, even before the existence of the last generation, there have been organizations such as Extinction Rebellion, founded in 2018, that since then have raised attention through their forms of protest as well. Extinction Rebellion is still active and even caused a stir in April, storming a luxurious hotel in Berlin. Company headquarters, party offices, and lobbyist offices have also been affected. Among these were companies such as Bayer, Shell, the Deutsche Bank, and the Liberal Party FDP. For their action, they also made use of black artificial oil to illustrate the climate destruction through multinational companies. Some members of the last generation have also been participating on this day. So climate organizations certainly enhanced inter-organizational coordination and cooperation. Another thing that sometimes comes up when discussing activist movements, such as the last generation, is the reproach of being a conspiracy organization and of being an underground activist movement. But how reasonable is it in general to talk about a conspiracy, which is a quite strong term and implies that there would be a great danger for the public space? In comparison to many political-oriented conspiracy organizations, the climate movements do seem rather harmless and do not fit into this category. Some people might argue to find some parallels. Having a rather pessimistic worldview and expectation for the future can indeed be found in the last generation's general positions. Certainly, it depends on who you ask, but some members might actually represent the opinion that the world ends in the foreseeable future. But to declare such an organization as an end-time sect, as some voices do, might however be exaggerated. Thomas Haldenwang, president of the German Office for the Protection of the Constitution, is saying to this, "At any rate, I do not recognize at present that this group is directed against the free democratic basic order, and in this respect, it is not an object of observation for the Office for the Protection of the Constitution." So talking of a conspiracy movement is rather unjustified, as it is not classified as an anti-constitutional endeavor. Another critique point towards the last generation goes against their street blockades, which also have effects on medical healthcare, because emergency vehicles get blocked as well, even if that happens involuntarily. In one case last October, there had been an accident of a bike rider being run over by a mixing vehicle, and the ambulance was delayed by a traffic jam caused by the last generation. Meanwhile, it seems proven that the woman would also not have been able to survive if the ambulance would have arrived earlier. But it still led, understandably, to lots of controversy again. When looking at the past month and how the Last Generation movement developed from its foundation in 2021 until now, in early 2023, one can see a shift in how they are organized. Namely, that they underwent a certain kind of professionalization. Through professional training and workshops that were given for the activists, the actions also got more and more professionally planned and prepared. As I said before, there are even so-called permanent or full-time activists that exercise functions within the organization and get paid for it. But does a more professional organization of climate protests also equals a progressing radicalization? I don't really think so. I see it more that the actions remain more or less the same, but that the resources are now spent more effectively, so that the number of actions increases. There's been quite an accumulation of actions when counting them all together. Last Monday, for example, there were up to 30 different actions of the Last Generation in Berlin alone. The whole climate discussion is nothing new, but a topic that is almost permanently in the news. However, one can differentiate between phases when climate change receives more or less attention. And in the eyes of many activists, that is exactly the problem. The less attention from the media it gets, the more it gets in the background and people tend to, well, maybe not to forget, but to ignore it. And maybe that's the problem. Doing nothing becomes the fault itself. That's why a growing amount of people engage in civil disobedience. And sometimes such civil disobedience gets more radical and violent. Now it is the case that some activists make use of these, let's say, extremer forms of protest. And one can ask oneself, are these forms of protest right, appropriate and still okay? Is there even such a thing as a right form of protest? Isn't this just one of our fundamental rights? Might it even be our responsibility to engage in civil disobedience in regards of threatening climate catastrophe? And do we owe this to the future generations, to our children, grandchildren, and so on? Years ago, I remember I read an article named something like, "In this world, I don't want to give birth to children, as I know in what climate collapse they would end up." The young woman in her 20s would describe in more detail in the article that she wouldn't want her kid to grow up and live in a world where they won't have the same chances as she once had. My first thought about this was, how pessimistic is that? But after a second or third thought, one gets actually pulled in a swirl of thoughts from where it is hard to escape from. Not knowing what our world is going to look like in the future, and if it is still going to be livable, is something that preoccupies people nowadays. To sum it up, as we know, climate change is real, and climate action is urgent. And civil society is actively getting engaged in many movements. Many of them are founded by the younger generation because they have realized how devastating the consequences of climate change will be in the near future. The activist movement Last Generation that I discussed in this episode is one of them. However, this group does fall in the rather radical category of climate movements. Seeing how they make use of drastic actions, one can question and criticize the way they protest. The question thus remains open, if their actions do actually help to change something, or if they rather shed a bad light on climate activists as a whole. Let us know what you think about this on all our socials. In the meantime, thank you for listening to this episode of The Maastricht Diplomat. Stay tuned for further episodes, and bis bald, till next time!
The music for this podcast episode has been produced by Stone Ocean. This episode has been written, recorded, and edited by Kiara Machuk. Audio technician, Jonathan Vijayaratne.